Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
The 49ers. All right, welcome to the GLC.
concentrate. Let it go. Super Bowl weekend. Hope you all got your popcorn. Donuts. Cookies. French fries. Ready to go. Tomorrow. And the 49ers take on the Kansas City Chiefs. Defending champion Kansas City Chiefs. One more day in Vegas. Sin City. And it's going to come down to the best defense. Where's the best defense? That's your offense. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Kansas City 27, San Francisco 21. A nail-biter down to the end of the game. Field General Mahomes gets his third ring in 4 years. And this reminds me, the media played this up this week. It was like the... For your old folks, the Rocky movie. If you know Rocky, 1970s, Ernie is Rocky and Creed is Mahomes, and the media played into that. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs win this game. I have to do it in the trenches. Bernie is a good quarterback. And I deny that. Bernie understands the mechanics of the game. Bernie, one thing Bernie cannot do is make a mistake. That's what they come down to. We're going to make a mistake. Now, people are upset because of Taylor Swift. But Taylor Swift brings young female fans to the gate. And the NFL should be happy about this. Instead, the old diehards, the old parts, don't like this. Taylor Swift can bring gazillion people to the NFL with Japanese, Korean, Chinese bands. The NFL better get on the train and ride Taylor Swift to the station. Now, I ain't no Taylor Swift fan, but this is a no-brainer here. We want Arthur Blank or Falcons. States Bill Belichick did not request GM powers, but I question that because he has no job. So Belichick must be asking for something because he's still unemployed. This weekend, National Regional Gym NCAA Gymnastics Championship. All over the conference. I can't think there's too many conferences. As they do it this weekend over the country. Friday Night Lights. Wolfpack upset San Diego State Aztecs. 70-66 in overtime at the bottom. Last night, women, and as always, right now, it's by 10-9. And 6 of the 25 teams covered by 10. With 3 weeks to go to see the Stanford to beat Washington 63-59 overtime. UCLA downs Arizona 50-43. Colorado against by Oregon 90-57. USC with Juju Watson 31 points as USC bounces ASU 81-63. Oregon State defeats the University of Utah 58-44. And the Missouri Valley Conference, ladies. The Missouri State Bears beat the Belmont Bruins in the Missouri Valley Fighting 73-54. And in baseball, as college baseball begins, Oklahoma women continue their long 56-game winning streak as they beat the University of Washington 4-3 in extra innings as the Lady Sooners continue their long streak of winning. NBA last night, Monk comes off the bench. Now the game to beat Denver in Sacramento 135-106. Russell carried the Lakers in the Warriors AIA. All five starters get 20 points and they have 87-point first half. 139-122 victory for the Los Angeles Lakers. Today at 5:30, the Golden State Warriors, they got the Phoenix Suns. And as usual, the media is playing up the Curry and Durant matchup. Today on ABC, Golden State at Phoenix, 5:30 Pacific time. It may be over for the Pittsburgh Penguins as the Wild beat them 3-2. Give myself a goal in the third period as Goldie Mark Andre Fleury 1,000 game in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Goldberg, Evander Kane gets 18th goal in the third period. The Steelers deal at 5-3 Oilers victory last night. WTA, the Dallas Open starts this weekend. And the ICT boy out, Garand beats DeVoe. And Abu Dhabi, Replica wins the championship in straight. PGA, Novak and Taylor are tied for the Waste Management Phoenix Open. A movie day today. LPGA, next week they will return to Thailand for the Thailand Open. Next week in NASCAR, they're off this week. As they will start the Daytona Class on Thursday and Daytona 500 on Sunday. They have Friday Night Lights. Hope you enjoy the early news of Friday night. Let's take a break.
BlackAthlete.com.
Black athlete, the full of victory that I can be up to be.
Now we got the spirit that can never give in, with a heart that pumps stronger than 10 average men. It's something within, I was born to win. You can't hold me down, I'm a black champion. We had to fight for equal rights, on and off the court, and at the turn of the century, dominated sports. For the love of the game, endured the pain, and fought through segregation, had to make a change. Jack Thompson, first black man to get a deal, in the major league, knocking home runs out the field. Led the whole lead in RBIs and steals, in his first year, MVP rookie of the year. Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, and Minnie Minosa, paved the way for Reggie Jackson, Ken Griffey, and Sammy Sosa. Half of all MVPs in the history of baseball's been black athletes. That's why we excel in all our feats, cause we so deep, mentally, physically, and spiritually. So all I wanna do is thank my God, we worked so hard, came so far, black athletes, superstar.
Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat.
Now, basketball is my favorite of all sports, cause there's so many black athletes that ever blessed the court. Will Chamberlain must be the most famous, scored 100 points in a game, and no one to do the same as Elgin Baylor, Bill Russell, and Connie Hawkins. Who's the best to play the sport? Dr. J or Michael Jordan? Played above the rim when they scored, hung in the air when they scored, made moves like never before. So all my black athletes, entrepreneurs, you open up the doors, you deserve a round of applause. The pigskin, the gridiron, where bodies be colliding, and the men must be made of iron. Where would football be without the great Jim Brown? Foster Payton breaking tackles and running for touchdowns. So if you ever had to stop him, it'd be crushing, because he still holds the records for the most yards rushing. Smooth with quick moves like dancers, Emmitt Smith, Tyrell Davis, and the great Barry Sanders. All I want to do is thank my God, who worked so hard, came so far, black athlete, superstar.
The eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat.
Jack Johnson, a heavyweight champion in 1910, fought the best of American men. And the fourth of the century took place on Independence Day, and the purse was 100 G's to pay. The most eagerly awaited event in American history, Jack Johnson versus Jim Jeffries. Nothing Frederick Douglass ever did, nothing Booker T ever did, shocked the world like this did. The great white hope came tumbling down, beaten and bruised and knocked out in the 15th round. Muhammad Ali, the greatest heavyweight champion of all time, at least he was in his mind. He gained the heavyweight championship a record 3 times and successfully defended it 19 times. The third youngest, the third oldest heavyweight champion. His career spanned 7 presidents.
The eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory.
Charlie Stafford, the first black man to win the PGA, made it possible for Tiger Woods to play today. Althea Gibson, first black woman to win the Wimbledon. Arthur Ashe, Williams sisters, we loved them through all of their trials and tribulations. Bad times we faced it and overcame the situation. Jesse Owens won 4 gold medals in the 36 Olympics, breaking records in 3 different events. And all the black women began to dominate in track and field. They was great in 1948, and a team full of black women won 6 medals and represented in the 52 Olympics. Thanks to William Rudolph and Elise Coachman, black women athletes slash postmen, Flo Jones and Jackie Joyner was terrific in track and field, the best black women that ever did it.
Welcome to the GLC with Gary Norris Gray. You can call in at 646-727-3649. Thank you, Black Athlete Sports Network, for sponsoring the Great Leopard Code. And it is now in its 10th year. Send news to Gary and Gray at blackathlete.com or Norris19 at att.net. Diavales Produce Store, El Cerrito, California, 510-235-1233 is one of the sponsors. Our new sponsor is Reality Sports Group in Reston, Virginia. Other sponsors are the New England Informer magazine with Doreen Wade, CEO, Boston, Massachusetts, Michael Lewis Ingram from BASN, and Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, Saturday afternoons and Wednesday nights on blogtalkradio.com. You can call 718-508-9216. That's 718-508-9216. Get your Canadian Philadelphia New York room on with the Soul Patrol. Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. May my second radio home, WCLM 1450, with Sports Talk by Cowboy Reggie and the Sports Talk crew. The little old mystery man on Saturday afternoon. He will make you smile, he'll make you laugh with music of the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. Listen to WCLM 1450 and WCLMRadioOnline.com. The heart and soul of Richmond, Virginia. Pat Freeman, the mighty Oba from WUFO, 1080 Buffalo, New York. Young star Travis Singleton and his kicks for grades in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. If your kids are getting A's in school, then contact Travis on Facebook.com. Listen to Brother Anthony Johnson on The Anthony Johnson Show on Saturday at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern Time. Political food for the soul. Remembering Roland Rogers, CEO of BASN in New York City, and the family of BASN writers and broadcasters. Cannot forget the 707 and 609 for their support. Want to be a sponsor? Check in the Code Caravan email. You can email Gary and Gray at blackathlete.com or Norris19 at att.net. Join the Code Caravan, the Soul Patrol, Pad Nation, WCLM on Facebook.com. Please visit our website, www.blackathlete.com, and get a different look at the sports world. You'll be surprised at what you find. Call the Great Leopard Code at 646-727-3649. That's 646-727-3649. Have a blessed day.
Thank you very much. And also, Gange Bajai or Gange Bajoy. Happy New Year to my Chinese fans in the mainland and Taiwan. Hope you have a blessed year. Year of the Dragon. forget about it. Forget about it. Okay, everybody, joy. All right. News of the week, Monday, Mississippi. It's still seeking money for Brett Favre. In the state's welfare fraud scam, allegedly. $230,000 still missing. Which Brett Favre needs to repay. National Labor Relations Board rules that the Dartmouth men's basketball team can utilize as employees and it changes the game with the NCAA. The page is turning and now we will see the amateur status of the NCAA athletes will be dismantled. Patrick Mahomes, senior athlete, this is the beginning of the attack of Patrick Mahomes Jr. Patrick Mahomes senior was arrested in Tyler, Texas for a third time. And the media has very interesting which media think this story up and which ones did not. The attack on Patrick Mahomes is beginning. Now I see when Tom Brady was going through his thing, nobody attacked him. Patrick Mahomes is halfway there, already out on him. This is the racial animus of the United States. Clayton Kershaw of the Dodgers agreed to a 2024 contract. And that pitching staff of the Dodgers is going to be awesome. In 2 years, as Kershaw can stay healthy. Joe Embiid of the Sixers has surgery. He'll be out at least 4 weeks. Sixers have not won a game since Embiid's injury. I hope they can stay in the playoffs. Ben McAdoo, coach of the will rejoin the New England Patriots as offensive assistant. The winter 2025 Winter Classic NHL will be at Chicago Wrigley Field with the Chicago Blackhawks and Minnesota Wild. That's what I think it is. More money at Disney, Warner Bros. And Discovery for a union streaming service. And folks, I'm telling you now, write it down. In 2 or 3 years, the Super Bowl will be paid for viewers. Repeat that again. In 2 or 3 years, the ball will be paid for view. Because that's where this is going. Okay, I'm going to go 2 more days before we go. 2 more days before we get a call in. I got 2 more days to deal with. Rex Ryan, we interview as Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator Biden, and Jose Altuve will retire as a Houston Astro for a 5-year extension multi-million contract for the Houston Astros this year. When we come back, we will do the NBA trade is on Thursday. Come back out of this phone call again, 7-7 in the house. Wait a minute, let me get on here. 7-7 in the house.
Yeah, Gary.
Hello?
Yeah,
what's up?
Okay, I didn't know you were about to take a break there. Thanks for letting me in here. I just had a couple quick comments. Wanted to talk about the recognition that Lamar Jackson received, his second MVP award. And I think it's noteworthy because often the MVP awards go to people who win titles. And, of course, here the Ravens did not progress to the Super Bowl. But, nevertheless, they recognize Lamar Jackson's great play. It could have gone in a different direction. This year's poster boy, Brock Purdy, or Patrick Mahomes. But I think it's noteworthy that Lamar Jackson was recognized for his great play, that it did not go to standard selection that they...
Lamar Jackson had the numbers. That's why it went to them. The numbers were far superior to Purdy and Mahomes.
Right.
That's why he became he's the only MVP ever to not win a Super Bowl. There've been eight guys with two MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
All eight guys have won Super Bowls. Lamar Jackson is the only one not to win a Super Bowl. Now, folks. Trust me, before the end of Lamar Jackson's career, he will win the Super Bowl. It is a matter of time now.
Alrighty. A couple of other quick hits here. The Warriors that seem to be wandering in the wilderness there and could not get Kuminga and Wiggins on the same page somehow have seemed to pull that together. And now Golden State.
The way they did that, my friend, is they put Draymond Green at center. When you put Draymond Green at center, it forces Wiggins and Kuminga to play together. It makes them do this. It also makes a better defensive team. Now, they may be a little short. They are a little small, but they can still do the job.
Right. Right. And it keeps Draymond Green in there for all of his defensive prowess. Keeps him in there at center. And it kind of maybe forces Kuminga to mature and causes Wiggins to step into the greatness that he has had. Without burdening
I think Kuminga is better than Wiggins.
Right.
We haven't seen it yet, but I think Kuminga is better than Wiggins.
Oh, I think that's true. And Kuminga is younger. I think he's maybe 20, 21 years old. And
yeah.
Wiggins, of course, is, 26, 27 maybe. Had all that bad experience in Minnesota where he was burdened by being, the franchise player, which seemed to have been too much of a burden on him. Perhaps he did not have the other talent surrounding him. And when he came to the Warriors and was, allowed to relax and be, a sixth man coming in, just with his talent, but not all the pressure of having to star, that he was able to excel and help them win a title. But this year he had seemed kind of lost. I mean, last year he took a long leave for undisclosed family reasons, came back this year. His numbers were way down.
The Warriors allowed that to happen, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was that was behind that scene, but see, my thing is this. You in the team sport, you can't win without being a team. And right now, right. The world is on a team.
Right.
Half a team is on, half a team is off. Curry scoring 62 points and losing the game. You can't do that.
Right.
Can't do that.
Yeah, no, that's got to be, you know, I mean, he scored 62 points. I mean, he did it, but it's got to be, you know, a burden on him to do that. I mean, it's, you know, with all his talent, with all his ability, with all his conditioning, it still has to be a stress on your body physically to put up 60 points. And in
well,
a losing effort.
You can't lean on Curry like that because you can't do March and April, guess what? Curry not going to show up.
Right. Yeah, too much of a burden here. Too much of a burden here in the, you know, the depth of winter here. A couple of things about the Super Bowl. It's been covered to death, but a couple of things jump out at me. This imbalance of where the two teams were assigned to practice. Kansas City got an indoor facility, and the Niners had to practice in an outdoor facility in which turf apparently was laid over AstroTurf.
Yeah.
And it's not an issue.
They didn't go out of proportion.
But it seems you want teams...
It was really bad. It was really bad. Really terrible bad. They would have requested the NFL to have double sessions in Allegiant Stadium. They didn't request it, so it wasn't that bad.
Right. Now, the game itself, is that being played indoors or outdoors?
Indoors.
Indoors, okay. Indoors on turf?
No, on grass.
On grass, okay. Okay.
Allegiant Stadium has a removable turf, right, like Arizona. And only two teams that have portable fields. They can move it in and out. So after the game's over, they put it back outside again.
Yeah, but it lets the sunshine come in, huh?
The Arizona Cardinals and the Las Vegas Raiders.
Right. And talking about stadiums, a week in the Grey Leopard Cove cannot go by without a reference to the continuing cluster splat with the Oakland A's. And Rob Manfred, or what's his name, Manfred? Mansfield?
Go ahead.
The commissioner who approved the move is now kind of backtracking, saying, well, the A's got to figure out where they're going to play. Because apparently the local county coliseum, whoever owns the lease there, is not going to give them an extension. There's some talk about them playing up in Sacramento, where the San Francisco Giants minor league team plays. But why would San Francisco give them the
that's
courtesy?
Right. That's right. They're not going to have it.
Yeah, and then there's talk about them playing at a junior college facility down in downtown Oakland, Laney College, which, of course, is not a major league facility. But it's strange that the league and the owners, which green-lighted the move to Las Vegas, are now kind of slapping Oakland around, the A's, the team, one of their brethren, for not having it together. Meanwhile, the mayor of Vegas says, we don't want the stadium where they're talking about putting it on the strip. It should go, you know, north of the strip in the old downtown or outside the city altogether. And they're tearing down the old Tropicana Hotel to prepare a site. So all this is going in all these different directions that, these people who you would think are not stupid are kind of lost.
This is a complete disaster area. And this is the reason why I say this. This has been going on since 1995. The Oakland A's in 1995 said, we're out of here. Right? How many years ago was that? 95. Almost, what, 10, 20, 30
it's
years
almost
ago?
30 years, right, 30 years, 30 years.
Five different mayors. The last mayor, which I was Michael Snyder, able to do what he did, this could have been resolved years ago with the Oklahoma City County Coliseum. The mayors said, we're not going to get involved in this. And they did that because their team. Once that was established, the A's said, okay, we're out of here. One problem, they couldn't find a place to play. This is back in 95. Here we are, 2023, 2024,
what's the problem? They can't find a place to play. Yeah, and of course, as you've mentioned many, many times, the absolute best place for them to play is exactly where they are, in a new stadium. As much as they're tearing down the Tropicana Hotel, tear down the existing Oakland Coliseum. It's out of date. The remodel was ugly. But it's the best location. It's easily accessible by rail, the BART train, by public transit, by freeways. It's well located opposite San Francisco. The various regions of the Bay Area, the South Bay, Contra Costa County, the North Bay, Marin County, Oakland, San Francisco itself.
There is a racial overtone to this. Major League Baseball, once again, with his divine wisdom, wants the A's to move. Why? Well, they wanted the A's to move years ago, because it was a minority training center. That's why they wanted to move. Same thing happened with the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves were in downtown Atlanta. And they said, oh, we got to get out of here, bro. They moved the team out of Atlanta for the very same reason. And that's why I was kind of ticked off with the A's.
Yeah. Well, you'll know because you...
The employment status of Alameda County. The A's are the number four employee of Alameda County. What are you doing?
Yeah. Well, you'll know, too, because as a fan and as an employee yourself, when you worked for the Oakland A's, under the Haas family ownership, with all the racial history prior to that in Oakland, the Black Panthers, you know, the whole racial situation, the Haas family made that place a place of safety and enjoyment, and the races coming together.
Yep.
And race need not have been, and I would submit, need not now be a reason to flee the city. I mean, the Oakland A's back then really brought that region together racially, I believe. You know,
well,
and with players like Ricky Henderson and, you know, the various other players they've had. It was an electric time. and you know, could be a model. I mean, for all our divisions now, you know, we don't have to look too far back into history to see how this was really a model for coming together.
Mainly,
but all
mainly
that, all that
has a from, and it started about 20, 30 years ago, when the Reds and the Phillies and other teams that moved to their new stadiums, they made sure they were in quote-unquote correct neighborhoods. I don't know what that means. Baseball made a point. I gave you an example of the Atlanta Braves had no business moving out of Atlanta County, Fulton County Stadium had no problems. But they move. This is why I believe this is a strong reason why this owner is doing what he's doing with the A's. It's about cash money. That too.
Right.
And when he sees Oakland, he does not see any money going out of Oakland. Now, I said this a gazillion times. What I would have done years ago, I would have blew up the Coliseum, blew it up, and put the Raiders on the south end and the A's on the north end. That's what I would have done, and put the bus route in the middle. Because the main reason why the Raiders got here is because they didn't want to share the stadium with the A's. And the A's were pissed off at the Raiders for tearing up the field. So you had two teams that like each other for different reasons. When Al Davis came back to Oakland, he told them point blank, "I want Boggs offices."
Right.
He got him.
Yeah.
And that was, to me, that was the biggest mistake the Coliseum Commission ever did. Because it ruined the beautiful view of the hills.
Right.
Now that monster is out of center field.
And it was an ugly remodel. It was like architecturally, it didn't even fit the original design. It looked like, you know, kind of cardboard got slapped on top of, you know, the existing building.
I don't want a worst thing that ever happened to the Coliseum.
Yeah. You know, your listeners nationally and internationally kind of probably wonder, why does he spend so much time talking about Oakland? Well, because you live in the San Francisco, Oakland, East Bay area, and so it's important to you. And it becomes a paradigm, I think, for a lot of the other issues that you spot, that, you know, baseball in many ways does not seem to be, you've hit this many, many times, you know, marketing itself to black fans.
No, and they don't care. Major League Baseball proved to me this the past 2-3 years. They don't care. They don't care. Because my thing was, if you really want to get black fans, why don't you advertise the old Negro League? Why don't you promote the old Negro League? Or at least have programs with the old Negro League. If you ask me, you really want people to come and see him. And I don't think they really care. as well as getting.
No, and they've done things. We've talked about this. I mean, they have, you know, tried to develop, you know, inner city, you know, baseball fields, baseball teams, things like that. And ironically, down in Los Angeles, where they did build baseball fields, people took them over to play soccer on. So, you know, the sport itself was not catching interest.
Well, also, you have a lot of, when I was growing up, I could say, wow, it's really big. Wow, this is Roberto Clemente. I can't say that anymore. There is no black superstar in baseball that I know of.
Right.
And when you're 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, you see that, you say, why should I go play baseball? Ain't nobody there. And this is where baseball is failing. And, like I said, if you want to get kids, involved, you have to show them, hey, look, this is a game that you want to play. This is a game that your forefathers play. This is a game that includes everybody. We don't see that here. You know, the past 5 years, Latino player that almost doubled from 2025, it will be double. It was from 2010. So a guy from Puerto Rico, Venezuela, Honduras, Colombia, they're coming to America to play baseball. That should be happening.
Right.
They need to do a better job.
Well, basketball has drawn the interest, and basketball is, you know, you only need a ball and a basket and you're good to go. You don't need, you know, glove, mitt, bat, ball, field, bases, things like that. And black young people look at the NBA and they see themselves, you know. They don't see that in Major League Baseball.
Football is you got African American, 75% of football is African American players.
Right.
So little kids say, well, I'm going to play football, I'm going to play basketball, football, or soccer. I'm not going to touch baseball. And what gets me upset with baseball is that I need to get comfortable. They're comfortable with that. They're okay with that. As we can be upset, they need to get comfortable with the situation the way it is. And they don't want to change. Am I all basing this right?
No, you're right. You're right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Hey, another thing you might be interested in as a resident of the Garden State, the World Cup in 2026 was awarded to... MetLife Stadium, which is in the New Jersey Meadowlands, just west of New York City. And that's, you know, and that's interesting. I mean, it's kind of it's not a very interesting place. I mean, it's built on what used to be garbage dumps. In the Secaucus area, you know, and it's not, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm from a little bit further west of that area by about 10-15 miles or so, and you know, it's not any place you would go, you know, if you wanted to go to a you know, trendy sports bar or something like that. You would not be going to the vicinity of the Meadowlands. I mean, it's basically, you know, historically swamp and then, you know, parking lots and trucking depots and things like that. So with all the crowd attention and the celebration that World Cup brings, you know, I imagine there's enough hotels, et cetera, in the New York, New Jersey area, but it's not like you're, you know, in downtown, you know, Pickett, Lisbon, or someplace like that.
I think New Jersey missed the boat with this Meadowlands. They could have been, closer to Trenton, but, you know, being right near New York, it's New York to me, Maryland to me is New York. It's not New Jersey.
But it's centrally located to the extent that, say, Trenton, South Jersey, really is not.
Well, you know, South Jersey would be Jersey, not New York. You talk about the Giants, the Jets, the Nets, before they moved to Brooklyn, the Devils moved away from the Meadowlands and moved into Newark, in the potential center of Newark, and they have a minor league team in Trenton, the Yankee farm team in Trenton. But and they've been there for,
Hey, here's a question for you. I'm just looking here at MetLife Stadium. Why are there two stadiums there, one being MetLife Stadium, the other being Giants Stadium?
No, Giants Stadium is gone.
Oh, it's gone now?
Yeah, MetLife
is
the only one there.
I see.
They tore it down.
Okay. That clarifies that. How long was that stadium? How long was that stadium in existence?
From 1976 to 2014 or 15.
Yeah. Have you been to MetLife?
No, I've never been to MetLife.
Question, who's your pick for the Super Bowl?
Kansas City, 27-24 in a field goal at the last second.
Wow.
So three points,
and that beats the spread.
Yeah.
Two and a half point spread.
Like I said at the beginning of the show, whoever has the best defense is going to win this game.
Uh-huh.
And not going to be the offense. The offense is going to have a problem. And the defense is going to... That's going to be the key to this game. I got told you many times. defense wins championships. Remember?
Right, I've heard that from you.
It's going to be tomorrow.
All right. Alrighty.
So, but you guys, watch out for the cover two defenses. Whenever you see a cover two, watch out Mahomes runs out of the pocket when he sees the cover two defense. That's going to happen tomorrow. And nobody said that. I'll be the first one. A cover two defense by the Niners could be inviting Mahomes to run.
Tell us how we can see that. What should we look for to identify the cover two?
Whenever you want to see a cover two, it's when the two corners go backward. The two corners are two guys way far back of the defense. When those guys move backwards, it's a cover two. When they move forward, it's regular gun. Most teams in the NFL now have a cover two because nobody can get behind them. That's why you don't see those bombs ever again anymore because of cover two. Those bombs don't exist anymore. Because he can't get over him. Every now and then, a guy will slip and fall out, and then that cover two is wide open. But that's a rare occasion. The cover two was started by Tony Dungy back in the 70s and 80s.
The innovative Tony Dungy, father of the Tony Dungy tree.
Yep.
Would you say, just on that point, maybe to wrap up here, that Dungy, in addition to that, was a particularly innovative coach?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's way behind everybody else. Because he played the position. And when you play the position, you know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
And people didn't pick it up until after the Super Bowl when Indianapolis played Chicago. And, oh yeah, this really works. Now, almost every team has a cover two.
Uh-huh.
That's how it works.
Right. But you're predicting tomorrow a close game, another nail biter, and ended with a field goal favoring Kansas City.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I'm going to hold you to that.
But all the people are trying to get anti-Purdy. No, I am not anti-Purdy. Purdy is a good quarterback. Purdy is a good passer. Purdy does all of these right. What Purdy does not do, what Purdy is not good at, is improvising. And that comes through playing through time, through age, through knowledge. Purdy is his first complete year. I don't expect him to be, the whole scenario, I knew this was coming. The scenario was a rocky example. Purdy is rocky, and Mahomes is green. About Creed. And we all know what happened there. Rocky won. So I'm going to be watching very closely how the officials officiate this game. Because officials can change guys play. We will see. You like that rock mentality?
What's that?
Like that Rocky analogy?
Rocky in the house. I'll let you go.
Okay. Take care. Have a good one, man. Okay. Thursday was the NBA trade deadline. The Warriors sent Corey Joseph to Indianapolis. The Sixers sent James Springer to Boston. Boston sent Banton to Portland. Milwaukee sent one of Lopez's brothers to Sacramento for cash. Milwaukee gets Patrick Beverly for Cameron Payne to Philadelphia. And I think Milwaukee has just won the NBA title with these trades. We will see. LA put the statue of Kobe Bryant downtown. Dwight Beeney. We have Devin Esther, Patrick Lewis, Andre Johnson, and Julius Peppers. We'll all be going into the Cannon Hall of Fame this year. The awards were last night, Friday Night Awards. McCaffrey of the Niners, Offensive Player of the Year. CJ Stroud, Offensive Rookie of the Year. Lamar Jackson, Baltimore Ravens wins second MVP. Miles Garrett is the Defensive Player of the Year. And we go down to the end here. Will Anderson Jr., Defensive Rookie of the Year. Kevin Stanowski, Coach of the Year, the Cleveland Browns. Joe Flacco is the Comeback Player of the Year. Cameron Howard, Pittsburgh Steelers Man of the Year, Walter Payton Award. A great show last night on CBS. Don't forget to see the replay of the award show. Ryan gave the Yankees losers for the first time since 2010 in the 800-meter freestyle. Corey Cooper Fisher retired at the 13th season and a Cy Young Award. Billy Epler, former New York Mets GM, suspended 2024 for faking injuries of the team. NFL will start 2025 in Real Madrid, Spain. UCLA head coach Chip Kelly will be also out of date as the offensive coordinator. Now, Chip Kelly is leaving the UCLA Bruins, who just moved into the Big Ten Conference. What is wrong with that? Michigan hire ex-New Giants coach Mike Martindale, MLB commissioner Rob Manfred has told the A's to figure out where they're going before the end of the summer because they have to make a schedule in 2025. Friday night, the Trey Young and the Huskies, the Sixers on the road, and they beat the Sixers goal in the first period and the Rangers win 3-1. The Rangers and the Boston Bruins are doing it in the East. I don't think anybody gonna catch them. They're playing very well. And about the Super Bowl is tomorrow and the weekend, Roger Goodell, made a speech on integrity, or lack of integrity of the game, after the 49ers practice field in the rain, outdoors. All right, what's up? We got, the emeritus of BSN, Tony McLean. Alex, what's up, brother?
How are you, man?
Hanging in there.
Yep, same here, same here.
Are you ready for tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, I'm at the let's just get it over with sort of stage at this point. You know, it's I mean, you know, I think it'll be a pretty decent game. Hopefully, it'll be a entertaining game. It seems like, as is with every Super Bowl, everything's being talked about what everything.
Yeah.
Everything besides the game is being talked about, but that's, you know, we've sort of gotten used to that now over the years.
The field issue with the Niners was a non-issue. After like the third day, we're not going to talk about this. We're going to keep on playing. We're going to keep on practicing and keep it moving.
Well,
if there was a real issue, they would have moved into Allianz Stadium and shared the stadium with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, I'm kind of weird that they would practice outdoors considering the game's being played indoors, but, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, what do I know? You know, you sort of, it seems like if they, them and their fans have been sort of whining since the end of the NFC Championship game, it seems, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, you never have because you be
well,
a fan.
Well, I've heard about as much as I want to hear, you know, because like it's you know like I go into even a deeper bunker during Super Bowl week. I've actually been really immersed in the Caribbean World Series, which was won yesterday by what I believe was Venezuela, which also means that pitchers and catchers will be reporting very, very soon, I believe. I think it's like the 15th or what have you. I was going to watch the NFL Honors, but there was another game on, so I just decided not to.
That was a good show for a game. It was a good show for a game.
Well, you know,
boring, I don't know what, but it was very good this year.
Yeah, you know, with award shows, it's literally hit or miss. It's either going to be very, very good or very, very bad. It's never really in between. And, you know, again, probably what helps them out is that there's not a whole lot of awards. I saw the Hall of Fame class as well. Yeah, you know, there's still some guys out there we still would like to see get in, but I didn't have too much. Well, I was kind of the only one that I was kind of surprised, disappointed was the Coach of the Year. I mean, I know it came down to one vote, but you know, Houston did, you know. That being said, the Texans did represent, you know, they had the offensive and defensive rookies of the year. You know, I understand why the Cleveland coach was up because of all the injuries and everything like that. But, I mean, you know, I thought it would be somewhat of a slam dunk for D'Amico Ryans. But, again, I don't, you know, with awards, again, you can argue to your blue in the face. To piggyback on the Hall of Fame, it seems like a lot of people are like, didn't like Devin Hester getting in. And, you know, I, you know, tell me why he shouldn't be in. I mean, you could very well make the argument that he is, if not the number one, you know, kick returner of all time, he's in the conversation at the very least. I mean, he's got to be in at least the top three, top five, just for what he's done over the years alone. I mean, we're old enough to remember guys like Billy White Shoes Johnson, Super Nat from back in the day with the Chiefs, and then with more modern, and then of course, you know, modern time wise, Dante Hall, the X Factor, Deion Sanders as well. I mean, you know, for what he did and what he was able to contribute, I mean, I would think that, you know, I just put it this way. How do you keep him out? But I would just say that.
Well, I didn't know the man until I saw him do a tribute to Deion Sanders. I thought, oh, this guy's bad.
Well, and it's interesting, of course, you know, he's one of the 100,000 guys that have come out of the U. So the fact that he would, you know, sort of pay deference to a Florida State guy, that speaks volumes in and of itself. But for the most part, I think I don't really have a fault with the guys that win. I mean, look, we all combined for the Four Quarters of Soul years ago. And there's only been, I think, a couple of our guys that have gotten in since then. I know Winston Hill finally got in, but Otis Taylor's still not there. Trying to think of who else. See, put it this way: to me, one of the biggest omissions is Jim Marshall. And if they're still using the excuse of the long way run. I mean, for his longevity, for the fact that he basically had the streak before Favre, and I mean, he was on one of the more iconic defensive lines in the history of the game. I just don't get the fact that he's not in. Even have a veterans committee like baseball where Gradishar got in this year, and to be honest with you, Gradishar probably should have been in a little while ago. Let's put it this way: for the most part, even with its flaws, football, out of all the Hall of Fames, the NFL, I mean the Pro Football one, seems to get it right. There are still about four or five guys. To me, I would still like to see get in, but I must admit, over the years, seeing guys like Cliff Branch finally get in. I mentioned, you know, Winston Hill, of course, Snake Riley, a couple years ago as well. But that being said, there's still a lot of other guys that I think definitely need to get in there as well. You still there, Gary?
Okay. I got knocked off the air as usual, brother.
Yeah, I'm here. We must have alienated some A's fans, I guess. Yeah, that's my
idea. I guess so. I was like, oh no.
Mhm. I was catching the tail end of that. So now, let me get it right. They got one more year in Oakland now, or.
Okay. Well, I guess we knew they were going to play
this year anyway, but I guess it's 25 and 26 that are a little bit of a discrepancy now.
25, they have no home.
Because the lease ends in 24?
Yeah, and Manville is 38. Look, I don't care what you do, but you better have a 25, we'll do a
26
later.
Yeah, like to...
Okay, what's happened is the ballpark will not be finished now until 28 because they delayed the demolition of whatever it was.
What got it delayed?
I had to wait another 6 months before they start building.
What was the hang up with the delay? I'm just curious.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Apparently Mo, Larry, and Curly were taking some extra days off, I guess. during the construction.
This thing is out of hand. This has been settled years ago.
It's no surprise that they are going to be headed to Vegas, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They made it official, but we've pretty much have sort of known this for like the last year and a half or so, maybe even 2 years to say the least, for the most part.
Yeah, well, this has been going on since 95. It started in 95, that's when it started, it still continues 30 years later. There's no excuse to this.
Well, what's the backup plan for them to, you know,
either downtown Oakland with Laney Junior College.
Mm-hmm.
Or Modesto, double A team in Modesto, California, which is about an hour and a half away from Oakland.
Well, what about, you know, they play it now, I think I remember the name of the state, like Cashman Field, couldn't they, you know, take up residence there, why wouldn't they?
You mean in Sacramento?
Well, no. If I remember right, Cashman Field was where they played. When they played in Vegas before, that, you know, it was a minor league park then.
Yeah.
Why you know, is there a reason why they're not looking at playing there?
I think it's because it's too small.
Oh, because well. Now, if they're thinking of Modesto, is Modesto that much bigger?
I don't think it is.
Yeah, I wouldn't think. I mean, Modesto's what, double A?
Yeah. Modesto
So we're thinking, what, maybe 12,000, maybe?
I think it's about 17.
I mean, they're going to be losing money anyway. But it's like, you know, it's what level of, I guess it's just more of a level of how much money they want to lose.
I'm very mainly baseball for this because this should have been years ago. Now Mansfield is saying, look, you gotta give me a place so I can I know, Tony. I know you guys don't want to go to Menendo because I don't get there.
Well, just to play somewhat the devil's advocate, shouldn't the A's bear some responsibility here?
Yeah. Yes.
See? I mean, look, we can blame Major League Baseball for a lot of things, but when this has been a team issue, all Major League Baseball is saying, look, get your act together. You know, I mean, it's again, if I remember the timeline correctly, at least 2 years ago, Manfred said, sure, I wouldn't have a problem playing in Vegas. So to me, that sort of gave them the red light to, okay, let's get all 10 toes in and move. Now, if the A's are dragging, as much as I'd like to put some of this on Martin Luther King Manfred, I really can't, because he basically gave them their blessing. I don't know what more Major League Baseball could have done. I mean, all they're saying is, look.
But the owner's the real problem with this.
Well, yeah, it sounds like it's more of an AIDS thing than a Major League Baseball thing, you know, to
but
me. Because,
was,
I mean,
was the day. The owner was the thinking about the city of Vegas,
to put the bill.
And then, wait a minute, you want the city of Vegas and think about the pay for your city, and you gonna get rich. Get out of here.
Well, I mean, we can't be surprised because he basically, from what I can gather, again from the outsider looking in, I'm thinking he wants something similar to what the Davis family got in Vegas.
And
I remember when they did the artist rendition. I mean, they were going to turn that into like sort of a multiplex thing as well. I mean,
yes.
I don't know. I mean, look.
And Davis said, look at that.
Well, you don't think that the Raiders are trying to. You don't think the Raiders are trying to, for lack of a better word, get involved in this? Do you? I mean,
because the last thing people 2 years ago. We're more than happy to bring the A's to Vegas.
Well, what
now,
would they
all of a sudden, the mayor is saying, well, I don't know about this.
Well, what would the A's have to gain? That would be my first question.
Well, one, it'd be the only baseball team in the area, though.
With all due respect, it's got nothing to do with that. I mean, look, if anybody, to me, it's like apples and oranges. The fact that the A's would come there, to me, literally and figuratively, doesn't affect, it shouldn't affect what the Raiders do. I mean, for Christ's sake, they're hosting the Super Bowl tomorrow. And I would think that having another entity there would enhance. I mean, put it this way: if anybody, and again, I couldn't see why either. If anybody that may have a small issue is the Knights, is because they were the original team. But see, again, knowing, put it this way, and again, I'm saying this as an outsider looking in. I don't see what the A's do. Unless they're just being incredibly spiteful, even if that's the case, what are you gaining from this? What are you gaining from being a, you know?
I think the Raiders and A's have been going at it for decades.
Well, the Raiders
are mad because remember back in the '70s.
I don't deny that they've had a pissing contest for the last, you know, for the last 40 or so years. But that being said, you saw the documentary, the 30 for 30 that they did, and Davis literally got exactly what he wanted in the first place. He wanted his own. He literally and figuratively wanted to have his own, like, you know, like Jerry's house in Arlington.
Yes.
He basically won, and he's got that tenfold.
Yes, he did.
And they're about to host the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Why in God's name would you, now unless the A's are initiating that they want to sort of share the stadium again, and I don't see that because it's a football only stadium. And if you remember the artist renderings, I'm losing my ability to speak English here. If you remember the artist renderings of the new A's Park, it's like a lot of these newer parks where it's just baseball. It's like it's basically their version of Camden Yards, PNC Field, Great American Park, and all that. Now, do the Raiders really think? I mean, now look, if the A's do come, when the A's come there, I guess we should say, do they really think that they're going to take away from their fan base?
No, because it's a football fan base. It's baseball.
Yeah.
It's not a
football. It's
go right back to the 70s again. In the first years, the A's moved to Oakland. The Raiders had to play 5 games on the road.
I remember the Jets went through that for so many years with the Mets as well. But see again, they're literally going to be in another part of Vegas in a different entity.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, this is even petty for the ghost of Al Davis. You know, it's like, come on. I mean, put it this way. I would think, and maybe I'm being too Pollyanna here, I would think that bringing a baseball team, and again, it just so happens to be the team, a team that you had a up and down relationship over the years. I mean, this is beyond the legion of jealous ex-girlfriends here.
I think if it was anybody else, if it was any other team but the A's, I would be ready to have a problem. But because of the A's, that's what the problem is.
I don't doubt that that's a factor. I don't know if it's the main factor, but I don't doubt that it is. If it is the main factor, I mean, gee whiz, let it. I mean, Carl Weathers passed away earlier this week, and it reminds me of the line from Rocky II. You know, let it go, let it go.
Speaking of Rocky, I compare the Super Bowl to a Rocky episode. Hear me out, Joe.
Yeah, go ahead.
Ernie is Rocky.
Uh huh.
Mahomes is Apollo Creed.
Mm-hmm. without the dancing and the James Brown solos.
Yeah.
Mhm.
So I don't know how it is, but
it's pretty. I mean, it's pretty obvious that they're you know, especially off the heels of last year, it's pretty obvious that they're that the black and white quarterback factor is definitely there. Well, it's being played out nationally too. You're probably getting a little bit more of it, you know, because of where you're at. Because, like I said, trust me, I feel your vein Being down here, we got a lot of that in when the Patriots were in the middle of what they were doing. And
this is the thing when Tom Brady did his thing in New England, nobody complained. Nobody said boo. And now Mahomes is only halfway there and already whining.
Well, they're already trying to say he's not the GOAT, and it's like, okay. I mean, you feel threatened, and he's not even, you know. But see, again, I think it just speaks to more of what the kind of conversation is. Because remember, the very same people who are trying to tell you that he's not in that stratosphere yet were the same ones that were saying that their dynasty was over going into the season. And even as the season was going along, when they were struggling. Well, that's the thing. It's not so much reporting as it is projecting more than I can see. Again, it seems to me of all the four major sports, the NFL and their media and their fans are always trying to push an agenda. You know, ironically, they sort of told on themselves this year when they had the commercial going into the season in regards, and we've seen, I think most folks now, even if you're not a diehard NFL fan, knows the kind of subliminal seduction that the NFL tries to play. Remember when the Super Bowl logo got released earlier this year, everybody just thought, oh God, they went with the color scheme, and they thought, you know, Niners and Baltimore. Well, they got half of it. They got half of it right. And you know, we physically have seen. You know, I remember when I sent you guys a Super Bowl program that had already been put together with, I believe, the Patriots and the Cowboys. Of a few years, for a few years ago, but you know, it's and again, this is one of the main reasons why I literally go ghost during the build up toward the Super Bowl, because it's basically the same. Even though the teams somewhat change over the years, the narrative and the BS basically stays the same. You know, Goodell does his little thing about how the NFL is so great, and he has his little buzzwords like integrity and all the other stuff. Now, he actually addressed the two elephants in the room regarding gambling, but see, again, they still sort of play footsie with that as well, and it just, you know, it gets kind of old. It just for me, I don't want to speak for everyone, but I do think that there are a lot more non-sports fans and even some sports entities that are starting to realize, you know, the kind that, you know, they're not cooking what The Rock is selling, or in this case, what Roger Goodell has been selling. Now, I can still appreciate, I still can somewhat appreciate the game in a sense, because we're, you know, because of what Mahomes appears to be doing or is in the midst of. But again, it sort of goes back to what this generation of sportsdom is now, because instead of embracing what Mahomes may be doing, they're already trying to discredit it. Now, look, and I think a lot of it has to do with the black-white issue as well. I think there's still...
The poison paper that when Patrick Mahomes Sr. got arrested for drug driving Tuesday, here we go.
Yeah, the timing of that, matter of fact, he was actually, if I had heard Mahomes driving drunk, he wouldn't be the Mahomes I was thinking of. I would be thinking more of either his wife or his alleged brother, who seems to be doing a hell of a Billy Carter impersonation, in regards to becoming somewhat of a national embarrassment. But it goes back to what you were talking about in the sense of the Rocky thing, because now Purdy is going to be looked upon as, I mean, literally because of, you know, he's looked upon being the great white hope. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that the league, even though they begrudgingly sort of, you know, did something in regard to the 15 brothers that started on opening day this past year, they're still kind of queasy about having a black face, although be it not, a black face sort of be the face of the league. I think they're still, they're willing to tolerate Mahomes.
If nobody knew any better, they would be Mahomes, because he has Jones.
And that's the one reason why they quote unquote tolerate him. Now, as we said several times,
I love Curry. I love Stephen Curry. But that thing about him being light, bright, all right, is driving me nuts.
Sure, it's definitely there. It's definitely there. I don't think we're speaking out of turn in regard to that, because, you know, again, a lot of times it's more about white folks' scribbleness as opposed to their uncomfortableness. But trust, if he should have any missteps, he will find out. And to a certain extent, he's already has, because his wife gets a lot of ridicule, and the brother gets a lot of ridicule, and the dad. And it's almost like they, you know, it's not enough that they want to go after him. Is that, you know, now that the family, and again, let's be clear, we're not trying to condone drunk driving. In regard to Pat Senior, but you can't deny that the timing is literally, you know, put it this way, porcupine in the nudist colony sort of comes to mind here in regard to that, because from what I can gather, even in his playing days, I don't remember Mahomes Senior ever being clipped for either drugs or drunk driving or what have you. But, you know, hey, everybody, you know, no one's perfect or what have you. But all that being said, it goes back to one of the reasons why I myself, and I always speak for myself in regards to this, that the NFL, for me, I don't have the same love for the NFL like I had even 5-10 years ago. A lot of that, you know, there's, you know, we have to acknowledge it because of the industry that we're in. But when I've said this several times on your show and other shows, what have you, when we chose to boycott the NFL and just talk about its history, I didn't miss the game. I didn't miss the game at all. And even now, I sort of take it in small doses. Again, it's tough to stay away from it completely because it is such high visibility in non-sports entities. But that being said, put it this way. If they were to ever have another work stoppage or labor dispute or what have you, I'd be fine. I'd be fine with it. I'd be fine with it. I could definitely go. I mean, I'm actually looking more forward to the new combined spring league. Coming up next month because. Another thing, and this is something that I've argued with a lot of folks over the years, is that you don't necessarily have to have a successful team in the New York, New Jersey area to be a successful league. The NBA is a perfect example of that. I mean, we all know the Knicks struggles for the last how many or so years.
New York Knicks.
But the NBA has thrived. Now, the fact that they're doing well now, I'll put it this way: would it be nice for them to have a team in the New York, New Jersey area? Yeah, it would be. But I'm not. It's not the be all to end all. At this point, look, especially now when we're in a specialty, look, COVID changed a lot of things. Even before COVID, things changed. Now, because, contrary to what to who you believe or listen to politically, and again, that's another 2-hour conversation in and of itself. There are still people struggling financially out here. There are a lot of people. There were people struggling before COVID. There's people struggling after COVID. And the thing is, there's a lot of people that suffered during all three of those entities, before, during, and after. And the whole thing of where you want to spend your money, you want to spend your money where you can, you want to spend your, not so much spend wisely, but you want to spend your money where you're going to be appreciated. And number one, you want to spend your money judiciously. Even with what's going on with the A's, or what's going to be going on with the new league, or even with baseball and some of the other leagues, because there's so many other entities out there, and if COVID proved anything, is that, yeah, you may not be too crazy about when sports not going on, but we can survive without it. We definitely can. We definitely can.
In the NCAA, NLRB ruled that the Dartmouth basketball team can be former union, and I believe the end of amateurism is right next door.
It's been at a steady pace. It's definitely been at a steady pace. This is just another realization of it. I find it interesting that it was the Ivy League who sort of looks at it, for lack of a better word, they have a snooty look to me at times in regard to college sports and everything. But again, that's another conversation in and of itself. But overall, and college sports especially has a lot to do with this as well. folks are going to be judicious about spending their money on, I shouldn't say frivolous, but stuff that's not, you know, life-sustaining. I mean, yeah, we would, you know, I think if you're a sports fan, you're going to find a way to, you know, maybe save a couple of bucks to go to a game or go to a series of games, what have you. But you're going to have a, you're just put it this way. Back in the day, you probably would, you know, make it a point to put some money aside for those sports ventures. Now, I think there's going to be a conversation.
The National Football League is raising itself, right? $110
Well, see, but the thing is, if we don't pay for it, someone else is going to pay for it. That's the thing. And see, that's how the NFL has been able to get over the years. I do believe that.
Because people are going to say, why are we doing this?
Well, the thing is now, the difference with the NFL, and I think that's the big turnoff for me, is that, like a lot of these major sports, and I think the NFL in particular, they could care less if their hardcore fans follow the game or not. I think they've sold themselves out to the fantasy league and gambling folks.
Years ago, yep.
And see, those folks aren't going anywhere. Because see, they were, let's put it this way, they were always there anyway, but now their numbers have gone up, and now their numbers have gone up to the point where your hardcore fans now don't make up the face of the NFL anymore.
Yeah.
You know, the folks, like, you know, the folks that get into watching, you know, the games from back in the day, or that get into NFL films, or what have you. You know, those numbers used to be the hardcore fans. Not anymore. I mean, you still have a few. But needless to say, they're being drowned out now by, you know, by the FanDuels and the DraftKings, and the fact that the Super Bowl is being played in Vegas, and you know that this is not going to be the last time that it's going to be played.
Well, I think Vegas is going to be their emergency place, because I believe that Vegas, it'll be every 3 or 4 years they're going to go to Vegas.
Put it this way. I think they're basically the new New Orleans.
Yes.
They're the new New Orleans, because, you know, it seemed like every, like, third year or so was always in New Orleans. And yeah. I think, and again, even though it was a while back, you cannot dismiss the embarrassment of them having that power failure there. Don't think that doesn't still play in their mind. And now that they have other options, and these other options are more lucrative and, in a sense, more reliable in their eyes and more appealing to them, because, look, you know, the NFL is clearly the ultimate greedy bastard league. That's you know, there is no of the big four, no one, you know, and you know, that's been sort of their calling card as to why they've been so popular, because, you know, there's the money that they make off of football, but they've made obscene amounts of money from their non-football revenue, and they, the league survives just on that alone.
You got people coming from Taiwan and Korea buying thousands and thousands of jerseys. It's really people.
Well, no, but see, that's the kind of fandom that the NFL craves. And they get that, you know. It's look, they, you know, I'm willing to bet you a lot of these foreign fans, if you mention Colin Kaepernick to them, they may only know it vaguely. I'm sure that they don't. I'm sure they are not. You know, whatever they know of Kaepernick and that whole situation, best. It's you know, some guy, you know, in their eyes, some guy tried to shut the NFL down. And again, that's how they perceive it, because that's how the NFL and the other and their media cronies played it out to be, even to this day. And that's the main reason, and that's the main reason why they have that. I mean, you know, they just added, you know, they're you see that they're going to add a game in Brazil this year.
So they're opening this year in Real Madrid.
Yeah. I mean, look.
Last night I saw a show. I think I seen it years ago, but I was that night, and it was the Chicago Bears, 83 Chicago Bears.
Uh-huh.
And I forgot how powerful they were, how real powerful they were.
Popularity-wise, or, well, remember, they played, if I remember right, they played, you know, they played over in England. That year, you know, they played over in England. That was. It wasn't the start of all the international stuff, but it was. You know, it proved how. And you know, it was one of the driving forces as to why they went after the foreign dollar. You know, the way they did. And look. You know, you can't tell somebody how they should spend their money or how they should invest their money. You know, that, and I don't think, the NFL damn sure not going to listen to us, and rightfully so, because they've
the way that team scored, LA point they scored that year, it was like, oh my God, those guys are crazy.
Well, yeah, they were good. Yeah. Well, look. If you're, when you're a good team, you know, it's funny because, you know, people forget they were able to sustain that very quickly. But what also happened with them, like a lot of teams, is they really never let, other than the defense, and even with that, they've had defections, but. That, you know, within about 2 years, the heart, you know, the face of that team. Remember, Peyton retired basically that year after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Wilbur Marshall was gone. Remember Flutie started that playoff game the year after. Within a couple of years, Harbaugh was the starting quarterback.
So even
as good as they were for a sustainability factor, they didn't let that team set.
And that defense was
during that era. You have to give credit to how that defense played and how they dominated and they made it somewhat easy for their offense, to be able to do that. This is sort of a testament to McMichael getting in the other day.
Buddy Ryan.
Remember, he was gone afterwards. Remember, he left after the Super Bowl. But you still had Vince. If I remember, I think it was Vince Tobin wound up being the DC after he left. But,
right.
you know, the production didn't really fall off that much. It was a gradual